Welcome back to the deep dive. So, we have officially survived January 2026.
We made it. Just about.
And I have to say, if you're a gamer, or, you know, even if you just casually watch the industry, you probably noticed something about January. It was weirdly quiet.
Oh, quiet is being polite. It was a total ghost town. It felt like the entire industry just took a collective nap after the holidays.
Exactly. I was checking release schedules thinking, is my internet broken? Did I miss some huge announcement? But we've got the reports in front of us, and it looks like that silence was very deliberate.
The classic calm before the storm.
Yes, because according to our main source for today, February isn't just picking up. It is about to absolutely blow up your hard drive.
I love that phrasing, blow up your hard drive. Hopefully not literally. SSDs are still so expensive.
Right.
But metaphorically, oh yeah. We're looking at this strategic analysis, the Inspector Gemini report, which really tracks the subscription market.
Mm-hmm.
And the data suggests we are walking straight into a massive confrontation this month.
The term getting thrown around is the console Cold War, which sounds a little dramatic, but when you look at the billions of dollars involved, it kind of is a war.
It absolutely is. And today specifically, we're zeroing in on the subscription war. We're not talking about buying a $70 disc in a store. We're analyzing the latest moves from the big three, Xbox Game Pass, PlayStation Plus, and the Epic Game Store.
And the mission for this deep dive is simple, but it's one that actually affects your real-world wallet. I mean, subscription fatigue is a real thing.
Oh, it's so real.
I think I have 12 services billing me right now. So the question is, who actually deserves your $13 this February? Is it Microsoft? Is it Sony?
And that's the surface question. But the deeper question the report asks, and this is what I found fascinating, is about how we value these services. It pits pure dollar value, you know, the math, against freshness.
Okay.
Is a service better because it gives you 80 bucks worth of older games? Or is it better because it gives you one brand new game that everyone is talking about right now?
That is the big debate. We have talking guns, we have gritty boxing matches, and we have magical Victorian plants. So let's unpack this. We've got the Inspector Gemini report. Let's start with Team Green. What's happening over at Xbox?
Microsoft is coming out swinging with a very specific strategy this month.
Yeah.
If you look at the tone of their lineup, they are leaning hard into chaos. The report calls their headline edition a laugh bomb.
A laugh bomb. I'm guessing we're talking about High on Life too.
We are. And this is a really interesting pick for a headliner. Do you remember the first one from back in 2022?
Oh, vividly. It was everywhere. It had that really specific kind of improvisational humor. You have a gun that has a face and it just relentlessly mocks you. It was, let's just say it was polarizing.
Extremely polarizing. You either love that comedy or you wanted to mute your TV after 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But, and this is the key thing for the business side, it was a massive engagement hit for Game Pass. Millions of players downloaded it.
It was a viral moment, for sure, and now, February 13th, the sequel drops. But reading the source material here, it seems like they've actually tweaked the formula. It's not just more talking guns.
No.
They added a traversal mechanic that sounds kind of incredible.
And a space hoverboard.
The space hoverboard! Finally. I mean, walking is so 2025.
It changes the whole loop. The report highlights this as a shift from just a standard corridor shooter to something much faster, more vertical. You're zipping around alien skylines, grinding on rails, all while your shotgun is telling you terrible jokes.
It sounds like pure chaos, like they're trying to inject adrenaline straight into the service.
Mm-hmm.
But let's look at the business side of this, because High on Life 2 isn't some old game they found in the bargain bin.
No, and this is the power move, the analyst points out. This is a day one release.
Right.
And that term gets thrown around. But we need to define the value.
Yeah.
If you don't have Game Pass, this is a $60 purchase, full price.
So for subscribers, it just unlocks the second it launches.
Exactly. The report calls it Spencer's best gift to subscribers for the first quarter. It's an aggressive play. They're effectively saying, don't buy our games, just rent our entire ecosystem.
It's the Netflix model on steroids. But, okay, High on Life 2 is the loud, flashy one. There's something else hitting Xbox that, to me, feels way more significant for the long term. We have to talk about Final Fantasy.
This is where the analysis gets really nuanced. On February 3rd, Xbox gets Final Fantasy II Pixel Remaster.
Now, for a casual listener, they might hear Final Fantasy II and Pixel Remaster and think, okay, an old 8-bit game from the 80s. Why is this a big deal?
Right. On the surface, it looks like filler. But the Inspector Gemini report describes this news as weird. And in the gaming industry, weird usually means political.
Let's unpack that history, because I grew up in the PlayStation 1 and 2 era. To me, Final Fantasy just is PlayStation. They were completely synonymous.
They were effectively married. For 20 years, Square Enix, the publisher, treated Xbox like a second-class citizen. Games would come years late, if they came at all. Xbox was just a wasteland for Japanese RPGs.
I remember that so clearly. If you liked JRPGs, you just didn't buy an Xbox. It wasn't really an option.
Exactly. So seeing the Pixel Remaster series, which is the definitive polished version of these classics land on the Redmond console, as the report puts it, that's a massive signal.
It's not about the game itself, then.
Not entirely. The report calls it a major political signal. It's a sign that the relations have thawed.
The ice is melting.
Microsoft has been trying to court Japanese developers for a decade. This is basically a public handshake. It says, we are partners now.
That's huge for the ecosystem. It means if you're an RPG fan who's stuck with Xbox, you aren't being left out anymore. So you've got the chaos of High on Life and the deep history of Final Fantasy. That's a really balanced lineup.
It is. It hits the modern shooter fan and the nostalgic RPG fan at the same time.
Okay, so that's Team Green. Comedy and diplomacy. Let's pivot. Let's look at Team Blue, Sony. PlayStation Plus. Usually when Xbox makes a big move, Sony tries to match that energy. Is that what's happening here?
Interestingly, no. They are going in the complete opposite direction. If Xbox is cartoon chaos, PlayStation this much is the bloody ring.
The bloody ring? That sounds intense.
It is. Their headliner is Undisputed.
Oh, the boxing game.
Boxing game. Hmm. And to really get why this is a big deal, you have to look at the void in the market. When was last time you played a really great boxing game?
Man, I have to go all the way back to Fight Night Champion. That was, what, 2011?
Exactly. It's been a desert. We've had UFC games, arcade fighters, but not the sweet science. Not that tactical slow burn simulation. Undisputed is trying to fill that exact gap.
And the source material really highlights the tech here. It mentions next-gen punch physics. What does that actually mean when you're holding the controller?
It means weight. In older games, you hit a button and animation plays. Here, the physics engine is calculating the angle, the momentum, and this is crucial, your stamina.
So if my character is tired, my punch actually lands differently.
Yes. If you're gassed out in the 12th round, your hook doesn't just look slower. It physically lacks the impact force. It might just glance off a shoulder. It turns it from a button masher into a strategy game.
You can feel the exhaustion. That sounds both amazing and incredibly stressful.
It's sweaty, it's gritty, and the graphics on PS5 are supposedly startlingly realistic. It's simulation, not cartoon.
A huge contrast to a talking gun on a hoverboard.
A huge contrast. Yeah. And Sony doubles down on this serious tone with their second edition, Subnautica. Below Zero.
Okay, now this is a game I know. And I have to say, for a game about swimming, it is one of the most stressful experiences of my life.
It's terrifying. The report describes it as a lonely, freezing experience on an alien planet.
It's that fear of deep water, right? You're alone, your oxygen is ticking down, and you just hear something roar in the dark. It's beautiful, but it is haunting.
And that's the genius of the PlayStation portfolio this month. The analyst points out they're targeting two very different emotional states. You have the competitive aggression of Undisputed, and then you have the creeping atmospheric tension of Subnautica.
It's a heavy lineup. There's no fluff there at all.
No, there's a gravity to it. It's for the player who wants a challenge, who wants realism. Xbox is saying, come have fun. PlayStation is saying, come prove yourself.
I like that distinction, escapism versus simulation. But let's be honest, not everyone wants to sweat while they play games, and not everyone's on a console. We have to talk about the PC crowd.
Right. While the two giants are slugging it out, the Epic Game Store is playing a totally different role. The report calls their offering the Sanctuary.
A Sanctuary? That sounds nice. What are they offering?
They're giving away Botany Manor on February 5th.
Botany Manor. Even the name just lowered my blood pressure.
It's the Palate Cleanser, a puzzle game set in a Victorian estate. You're not fighting zombies or solving a murder. You're just growing magical plants.
That actually sounds amazing.
It is. You're researching soil acidity, figuring out how much sunlight a windmill wort needs. It's quiet and it's pretty.
It's part of that whole cozy game movement we've been seeing. People want low-stakes environments.
And Inspector Gemini frames this as a strategic counter-programming move. The analyst argues that after you've had your hard drive blown up by action games and you've stressed yourself out in the boxing ring, you need a break.
You need to touch grass. Literally.
Or at least virtual grass. It's a mental break. It's acknowledging that gamers aren't just adrenaline junkies.
Okay, so we've laid out the whole buffet. We've got the chaos from Xbox, the realism from PlayStation, and the Victorian gardening on PC. But this is the deep dive. We promise to answer the hard question, who deserves the money? Let's do the math.
This is where the report gets really specific. We have a direct dollar value comparison, and I want to walk through this because the result is surprising.
Hit me with the numbers.
Okay, let's check the receipts. For Xbox Game Pass, you've got High on Life 2, which is a $60 game, plus Final Fantasy 2, which listed about $18.
Okay, so 60 plus 18. That's $78 of total value.
Right, 78. Now, PlayStation Plus, you have Undisputed, which is $50, and Subnautica, below zero, which is holding at $30.
50 plus 30? That's $80.
$80. So if you're just an accountant, Sony wins.
Sony wins by $2.
$2.
That is razor thin. It's basically a rounding error.
It is. And this brings us to the big question of this whole deep dive. Does a $2 difference on a spreadsheet actually mean the service is better? And Inspector Gemini argues pretty forcefully, no, the math is misleading.
Why? I mean, 80 is bigger than 78.
Because of the freshness factor. This is the tiebreaker. You have to look at when these games were released. High on Life 2 is brand new, fresh out of the oven.
Yeah.
You're playing it at the exact same time the reviews are dropping.
Right. You're part of the cultural conversation. You could make the memes while they're still fresh.
Exactly. Whereas Undisputed, look, it's a fantastic game, but it's a year old. Subnautica is even older. They're known quantities. The surprise is gone.
That's a huge point. There's a premium on new. There's a premium on being part of that initial discovery.
There is. And that is why the analysis concludes that the gold medal for February goes to Xbox. Even though the dollar total is slightly lower, the value of that day one access is just exponentially higher.
It's the difference between seeing a movie on opening night versus renting it a year later on streaming.
Perfect analogy.
The movie's still good a year later, but you missed the event. You missed the energy.
And subscription services live and die by creating events. They need you to feel like if you unsubscribe, you're missing out on today's conversation. Xbox creates that urgency. PlayStation creates a great library. Both are valid, but urgency usually wins because of FOMO.
Fear of missing out. That makes perfect sense. It's timeliness over sheer quantity.
Precisely. So, the verdict from the report is a win for Team Green, but with a big asterisk. It all depends on your personal taste. If you hate that style of comedy shooter, that $60 value is worth zero to you.
Right. If you just want a box, buy the boxing game. The math only works if you actually want to play the games.
It always comes down to the player. The report sums it up well. If you want laughs and fast action, go Xbox. If you want strategy, sports simulation, and that grittier tone, you go PlayStation.
And if you just want to chill out,
you go to the Epic Games Store and you grow your plants.
I think I might be doing all three. It sounds like a busy month. I might need the plants just to recover from the boxing.
It's a very busy month.
Yeah.
And I think that's the big takeaway. The console Cold War is not cooling down. If anything, February proves it's heating up.
It's intense. And, you know, before we wrap up, I want to circle back to something you mentioned, the Final Fantasy thing. That political signal.
Ah, yes. The thawing of relations.
We talked about it as a cool feature for this month, but if we zoom out, what does that actually mean for the future of the industry?
That is the provocative thought we need to leave the listener with. If Microsoft and the big Japanese publishers are finally playing nice, if we're seeing Final Fantasy on Xbox, are we approaching an era where console exclusivity for these big legacy titles just becomes irrelevant?
That would change everything. For decades, you bought a console for the exclusives. You bought a PlayStation to play Final Fantasy.
Exactly. But if everything is everywhere, does the war just end?
Or does it mean the opposite?
That's the danger. Does this spark a fiercer bidding war? If Microsoft is willing to pay to get these old pixel remasters now, what happens when Final Fantasy 17 comes out? Do they try to buy that exclusively and block it from PlayStation?
That is the multi-billion dollar question.
It is. And if history tells us anything, peace usually just means everyone is reloading. We're going to have to watch this one very closely. But for now, for February 2026, the battlefield is set.
It certainly is. So, to you listening, where do you stand?
Yeah.
Based on this lineup, talking guns versus boxing rings, are you Team Green or Team Blue this month? Or are you just hiding in your Victorian garden?
Whatever you choose, just make sure you clear some space on that SSD. You're going to need it.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the subscription wars. We'll be back next time to help you make sense of all the noise. Until then, happy gaming.
Game on.